It says Daf is Daf in Zion, so the bottom of Nun Vav and Beis, the words are Achte. Let's read this. There you go. Achte. So bottom line of Nun Vav and Beis. Achte de Rami Bar Chama have a nesila Rav Avia. So the sister of Rami Bar Chama had married Rav Avia. So that was the relationship. And the top of Nun Zion and Ralph, the Gemara says that Irkas Ksubasa, and turns out they lost the Ksuba, or she lost the Ksuba. She's supposed to hold on to the Ksuba. Now, this case does happen from time to time.
It
happened to you, yeah? Okay, so there you go. It happens. People lose it. So what happens now? So, Asa l'kami de Rav Yosef. If they went to Rav Yosef to ask a shayla. So, Amar lehu. So he says to them, Hach yamar Rav Yehuda, Yehuda paskin to the name of Shmuel, Amar Shmuel. Zu divrei Rabbi Meir. This is all according to Rabbi Meir. Rashi explains what does it mean. This is Rabbi Meir. Top line of Rashi. Damar leil, he taught us in the Mishnah, kol pochus lebasula mi mesayim bafil betanai. Whenever there's any amount less than the 200, it's called bilasnus. Mishum delo samcha dait, because she's not really samech das. She's not really in the marriage completely. Hachanami says Rashi l'Rabbi Meir, who da'aser lishos a isha shav the shak ksubas, that you are not allowed to stay married to a woman without a wife or without a ksuba, rather, because it means it's bilasnus. Vafilu islay delo mifsedei b'hachi the gavi b'tanai bezin mi lo samcha daita damer kitavanu le amar praticha hilchach bilasnusu. And even if she has it, she's not going to lose out. What's that last line of Rashi saying? I'm not sure that last line of Rashi. There's some girsos here on the side, I see. But the halach is that if you lose it, you're not allowed to stay married because she's no longer somech das and becomes bilasnus. But then Rav Yosef continues to say three lines.
You're not allowed to be together, right?
Exactly. Can't even be together, exactly. Can't even live together. But really, the real problem is bilasnus. The reason living together just might lead to bilasnus, I believe. But then the Gemara says that's all according to Rabbi Meir. But three lines from the top, Aval Chachamim Omrim, Misha Adam Es Ishto Shtayim Mishlosh Shanim Belo Ksuba. A person is allowed to stay married with his wife 2 or 3 years. And Rashi explains the Leslan the Meichash Mishum the Misamech Daita the Tavi Bilasnus. We're not really so concerned that she's going to lose her Smichas Das. She's not going to really be in the marriage anymore. She certainly will. 2 or 3 years is enough. Tosas on the top points out Shtayim Mishlosh Shanim. 2 or 3 years. Ain ledakte kan hasta shlosh mutter shtaim mibai. The dilma shtaim v'shlosh afil tuva kedamin an intrabit mishne beperek befanim ain laharach kan. 2 or 3 doesn't mean dafka 3. It's just being bad. It could be 4 or 5 years. There's no real set time. But it's not. In other words, the point is there's not such a rush to replace the ksuva according to the chachamim. That's what we'll see. The Gemara is going to go through that, I believe. So that's all according to Rav Yosef. And then Amar le'abai. Abai says, wait a second. V'homer Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, "Amar Shmuel in the name of Shmuel, halacha like Rabbi Meir. We passing like Rabbi Meir, b'gzerosav by all gzeros, and this is one. This is considered gzeros. She explains b'gzerosav b'davar shumachmir al davar Torah b'iser v'heter al yedei gzeros divrei. Whenever the Chachamim add something onto the Torah, that's called a gzera, and we always passing like Rabbi Meir with in respect to gzeros." So the Gemara says, "Ihach, if that's the case, zil kasevle." So the psak is, you have to go ahead and write a ksuba. We cannot let even a second go by without there being a ksuba. So then the Gemara says, "Ki aser Rav Dimi, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, Machlokes b'tchila." The whole debate between Chacham and Rabbi Meir all exists in the beginning. Aval basov ledivrei akol eino mochala. So what does that mean, b'tchila? So you look at Rashi here. Rashi says, "Machlokes the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, the Rabbi Yehuda al peh la." Oh, different point now. Okay, going to a different issue now. So Rashi explains again, "Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, the Rabbi Yehuda al peh lav tenaihu, Rabbi Yosi savar tenai kaim." If a person makes a verbal condition, is that al peh going to be an effective tenai or not? According to Rabbi Yehuda, we said that if you say something verbally, it will not be an effective tenai. Rabbi Yosi says you can make a verbal tenai and it will be effective. So that hal machlokes is only betchila, says Rashi, which refers to mefarshes common betchilas mai. We'll explain what beginning means, but at the end, the Gemara will explain. Everyone will agree she won't be mochelas if it's already written. And then let's say she says, "Okay, I'm mochel now." That won't work in the end if it's already written the ksuba. The only time it allows, we'll see what tchila means in a second, is in the beginning. Will such a machlokes exist? Let's go a little bit further before we explain what tchila itself means. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Bein Bezu, Bein Bezu, Machlokes, nope. Both in the beginning, both in the end, there's this debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. Yeah, the Gemara is still ambiguous right now. There's a Machlokes whether or not, when you make a Tanai, Al Peh.
We finished with the Lask Ksuba?
Yeah, with the Lask Ksuba, a different point now. If You make a tanai that you've already, let's say the ksuba is 200, but I'm going to be mochel, the woman's going to be mochel, al pesh, she says, half the amount. Will that be an effective tanai? Rabbi Yehuda says it won't be effective, only if you write it down. Rabbi Yossi thought it would be effective. Now the Gemara is qualifying that debate even further. That debate only exists according to, it can be somewhat complicated because there are going to be so many different layers here, but according to the first opinion, who is that of Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi, I guess we're attributing to Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi, it sounds like, in the name of Bar Kapara, that debate only exists betchila. We don't know what betchila means right now. It's still undefined. But basof, everyone agrees it will not work alpeh. And then Rabbi Yochanan says, whether it's the beginning or whether it's at the end, the machlokus exists.
So if basof, it doesn't, it's not effective.
According to Rabbi Shimon Levi. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, it is if the machlokus still exists even basof. No, that's only Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's understanding. That everyone agrees, but Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the machlokas still exists even myself. There's such a machlokas. So there's so many layers here. It's going to be somewhat complicated to get the whole web, but we'll do the best we can. So Amar Rabbi Abohu now, second line down. Amar Rabbi Abohu, l'didi mefar shalimineh, Rabbi Yochanan, it was explained to me, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the honor of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yochanan himself said, I, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, lo pagin ahadadeh. We're actually not arguing with each other, so it makes things a little bit clearer now. So there's no machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. So let's explain all this. My betchila, what does it mean, betchila? Betchila means the come Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that there is a machlokas betchila. Tchilas chuppah. At the beginning of the chuppah, so there, that's where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says there is a machlokas. Umay sof, sof bia. And after sof bia, then there is no machlokas. Everyone agrees she will not be mochelas. So let's look at Rashi for a second as we go ahead with this. Rashi says, tchilas chuppah, my sof, sof bia. V'hachi tamar. Mitchilas chuppah, from the beginning of the chuppah, v'ad sof chuppah, until the end of the chuppah, pligi ba Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. That's their machlokas. So anytime during the beginning or the end of the chuppah, they argue whether the alpeh, the mechila alpeh, will be effective. Rabbi Yossi says the mechila alpeh will be effective from the beginning of chuppah to the end. Rabbi Yehuda says it will not be effective. Rabbi Yehuda says the alpeh never works. So it's just pretty easy. Rabbi Yehuda says alpeh never works. The whole machlokas is when does Rabbi Yossi allow the mechila alpeh to take effect. So he says, from the beginning of chuppah until the end of the chuppah, a mechila peh will work. Aval mi sheba leh, when says bia, modi Rabbi Yossi dein bedvarv klum. But he agrees at that point, once says bia, which is sof, then her mechila will no longer be effective. Back to the Gemara. Now we'll hold our fingers on Rashi. V'chi kamina ana, when I said, Rabbi Yochanan's talking now, v'chi kamina ana bein bezu machlokes, when I thought there's machlokes still in the beginning and the end, tchilas chuppah v'sof chuppah dehit chias bia. I was referring to the beginning of chuppah to the end of chuppah. That's when there's machlokas. But sof, which is bia, that's going to be where everyone agrees. It's not going to be effective. So that's machlokas. So again, Rabbi Yehuda holds al peh will never work. Mechila peh will never work. Rabbi Yossi says mechila peh will work. What is that? From the beginning of chuppah until the end of chuppah. That's Rabbi Yochanan when he says benzu mechila will work.
If
according
she
to Rabbi
Yossi. Divorced him that time.
If she divorced that time, he only has to pay whatever is minus the mechila. Yeah. And after the chuppah, which is tchilas bia, which is the sof, everyone will agree, even Rabbi Yossi will agree that mechila peh will not work. And that's how everything makes sense. Then the Gemara says, Kiyasa, Rabin, when Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bava, from Bava to Eretz Yisrael, rather, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Paza. He quoted in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Paza, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Mishim par Kapara, Machlokas lebasof, the Machlokas exists at the end, Ava b'tchila divriya kol mochelas. He's saying different. Everyone agrees now, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees in this version that Mechila Peh works even in the beginning. The Machlokas exists basof. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Bein Mezu Machlokas. He still his position is still the same, whether in the beginning, whether at the end, there's a Machlokas. So what's the pshat here in this version of it? So Amar Rabbi Yebo. Rabbi Yebo again comes to explain, L'didi Mefarshali Mina. It was explained to me, Rabbi Yochanan, De'ana Rabbi Shubin Levi Lo Pakinu Mahadadeh. We're not arguing with each other, says Rabbi Yochanan. So Maile Basof, what does it mean at the end? Damer Bishu ben Levi, sof chuppah, the end of the chuppah, umay tchila tchilas chuppah. So what comes out here is that the same terms are being used, but there's machlokas what Rabbi Yehuda's position is this now. That the beginning of the end, uvichi kamina ana ben bezu, and Rabbi Yochanan said this and this, machlokas tchila bia vasof bia. Actually, different terms are being used now. So now Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi says, in the beginning, tchilas chuppah, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that mechila peh will be effective. At the end of the chuppah, then there's machlokas. Rabbi Yossi says it still will be effective. Rabbi Yehuda says it no longer will be effective. And then, from Tchilas Bia until Sof Bia, that machlokas still persists throughout the end. That's according to Rabbi Yochanan. So a very different version of this machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Okay, again, it's not hard just to get everything mapped out and to remember it. It's complex. It's not a hard concept. It's just there's so many different permutations.
What's the difference between Sof Chuppah and Tchilas Bia?
Practically, Sof Chuppah is simply they left the house. They left the Chuppah. And Tchilas Bia is the beginning of Ma'aseh Bia.
And what's Sof Bia?
I think, according to this, here it says on the last verse, Dechara Chuppah lifnei Bia, Rabbi Yochanan korei laze Sof, Dehainu Sof Chuppah shehi Tchilat Bia.
That's the Gemara's language in the first Ikud Amri.
Yeah.
He says that right. Sof Chuppah is Tchilas Bia.
Right.
The second one seems to separate between Sof Bia, Sof Chuppah, and Tchilas Bia.
Between the time the Chuppah during the wedding, during the Mishnah.
Right. Again, I'm not sure if it existed, if they had it like that then. Because remember, at our weddings, we have Chuppah goes into Yichurim.
Right.
But Hasidic weddings, and back then, they had Bia actually before the Mishnah. So,
while they were walking from the
exactly,
to
right.
The table.
Yeah. So I think that each ikdami gives a different impression whether Tchias Bia is really the same thing as Sof Chuppah or not. It's possible their chuppahs back then was not a separate thing. Their chuppah was probably
here
into the house. That's miucha to them.
Sof Chuppah also, from the second part.
The second part says, are we, in the Gemara it doesn't say that.
Bia, no,
uh-huh.
Our scroll says. Tchias Bia shehi Sof Chuppah.
Okay, so according to the article, there is no time lapse.
No.
It's one and the same. It
yeah.
flows right into the next. Okay. Now the Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Papa, I'm Rabbi Papa, Ilav, Dam Rabbi Abahu, Lididi, had Rabbi Papa, not Rabbi Bo, rather, not, had he not explained to me, Mefar Shalimina, Rabbi Yochanan, the Anavar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lo Paginan, Adade, had he not said to me that there's no machlokas between these two, Hava Mina, I would have thought that Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, are pligi. I would have thought they're arguing. Okay, that would have been the simple understanding he's pointing out. So then the Gemara says, Rav Dimi v'Rabin lo pligi. Rav Dimi and Rabin do not argue. So Rav Dimi was the first one who explained, right, Rav Dimi and Rav Rabin had the two different Ikud Amris. Rav Dimi was the first one, Rabin was the second one. So that was certainly machlokas. But now the Gemara says they're not even arguing with each other. Because my sof, the kamar Rabin, sof chuppah. Umay tchila, the kamar Rav Dimi, tchias bia. So the Gemara itself is addressing this question. So there never is actually a machlokas. The sof of Rabbi Rabin was referring to the end of chuppah, and the beginning of Rabbi Dimi was referring to the beginning of bia. So there's a whole long Rashi here, looks like, how to explain this interim period. Has it all mapped out now? Let's see if we can get a good line of Rashi here. If you look at Rashi, look at not the beginning of a Rashi, but look at two narrow lines up in Rashi. It says, "Hachi hava mefarshin le Rav Dimi, Amar Bishu ben Levi." Two narrow lines up in Rashi. There's no bold; it's just in the middle of a Rashi. But "Hachi hava mefarshin le Rav Dimi, Amar Bishu machlokes betchilas bia." So let's go through all that. I think he explains; he maps everything out now. Amar Bishu machlokes betchilas bia, dehi sof chuppah. Aval besof bia divya kol ena mocheles. Rabbi Yochanan poligala de afilu besof bia nami pligi. Even at the end there's a machlokas. V'chi asa Rabin was the second opinion we had here in the Gemara. V'chi asa Rabin amar Rabbi Shuban Levi machlokas besof chuppa. V'hi tchias bia. Dekamer nami ravdimi. Aval betchilas chuppa divya kol mocheles. Aval hashta de parish Rabbi Bohu. Now Rabbi Bo is explaining the Rav Dimi, the Bein Rabbi Yochanan, Bein Rabbi Yeshua, Bein Levi, Pligi, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, B'tchilas Chuppah, V'sof Chuppah, Al Karchach Pligi, and Rabin, Ad Rav Dimi, Deha Amar Rabin, B'tchilas Chuppah, Divrei Kol Mocheles. Oh no, sorry, this is the wrong Rashi I'm reading, I'm sorry.
Okay. If you want to see this.
He has the whole map here? Okay, so the map's here. So this just tells us that once it's a chart, it tells us it's somewhat complex.
Right.
So if you go through everything here, so this is the final, this is Rav Papa.
Rav Papa, the one on top. There's machlokas on all the points, according to...
So he thinks that, right, Rav Yochanan, Rav Yeshua ben Levi are arguing with each other, but Rav Dimi and Rabin are not arguing with each other. He's just moving around some of the terms here. It's going to be too hard probably to explain all this outside.
Is it chashuv?
But everything is.
Sure, what do you mean? Let's say you marry your wife and she's moichel, you don't know when she can be moichel.
I didn't marry and she never moichel.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's kedai to go through all the different details here, but he's switching around. Again, right. He thinks that Rishuv and Levi and Yochanan are arguing with each other.
According to Rafa, Rav Yochanan holds there's a machlokas throughout the board.
Correct, from the beginning, Bein Mezu.
Yeah.
To Rav Dini.
Only if Rabbi Bahu had not come along and said there was no machlokas. So
right.
This is like a theoretical
business
for the
Rav. So, yeah, in Echanami, it is all theoretical, but he would have had a whole completely different twist to this discussion. So Gemara says, so after that, so my Kamashulam, what are we coming to learn from this? So, HaKamashulam, the Pligi Tre Amaroi, a time within of Shayo, V'lo Pligi Tre Amaroi, Alibu Dechad Amara. This comes to teach us that two Amaroi are arguing based on their own understandings, and they're not arguing about the understanding of one Amara. Yeah, there's a whole long Rashi here about this. Which we said in a few words or less. I mean, the point is, what's Rav Papa trying to tell us? It's all theoretical. What's the limud here? So let's read the Rashi. Why not? It's went through this Amud quickly. See Rashi Hakmashmalan. It's a long Rashi. The Rashi right before the Mishnah. It's around like seven wide lines down. The second word of the line Hakmashmalan. Deheicha da Ashkaran Amarai de Pliga Dade. When you find two Amarim arguing on each other. They're all going based on their own shita. The tre amaroi acharina and the two other amaroim, the pligi b'plugs, are arguing about their machlokas, because here we have Rabbi Shuv and Levi and Rabbi Yochanan who are themselves amaroim, and then Rav and Rav Dimi, later amaroim, came along to have a machlokas about them. So whenever you have these two generations of amaroim, b'plugs the hanach amaroi, that the second one are arguing about the same inyan of the first, based on the frushe milsa b'tre lishna, you could explain one of two ways. That one way to explain is that the two Amaraim are arguing on their own shitas. He's saying his own svar. The second Amaraim, they're saying just one thing. They're not arguing anymore. And the other way to interpret the machlokas is mifli chamarai ali b'dechad. You go to Rabbi Dimi, Rabbi Mashri Milsa the Tre Amaroi Kamachad the Milsa. That the second set are really arguing, and the first set are actually in agreement. If you have one of those two options to say who's arguing, is the first generation arguing or is the second generation arguing? Those are two options. So Shavkina Nahulishna the Mifki Tre Amaroi Amaliba Dechad. You should remove yourself from the approach that they're arguing about the two Amaram are arguing about one of the Amaram beforehand. And hold on to the approach, and hold on to the approach that the earlier generation was arguing based on their own svaros. One of them are lying. So that's all fine. Interesting. Because the point of Rashi in the svaros is as follows. If you say Ravin and Rav Dimi are arguing about what Rabbi Shuv and Levi says and Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shuv and Rabbi Yochanan are saying the same thing, if we assume they're lined up with each other, and Ravin and Rav Dimi are arguing about what they say, then one of them are lying, because it can't both be true. That's what Rashi's pointing out.
Right.
But, so therefore it's better to say that Rabbi Shuv and Levi and Rabbi Yochanan have their own svaros.
Right, otherwise, right.
Right, and then Rav Dimi...
One says like one and the one says like
right.
Other. At the end, it says a quote.
But then it says a little bit further in Rashi here. About keep pligi chamarai bedin o beiser veheter. If it's a machlokas about how to paskin, kochad amar hachi mistaver taima ein kan sheker. There's no lying here. Kochad v'chad svara di day kamar mar yahav taima leheter mar yahav taima leisura mar medam milsa lemilsa hachi mar medam milsa bedin achirina. There's no machlokas elu ve'elu divrei lekim chayim. When it's about how to paskin, one thinks this case is more similar to another case, and this one thinks it's similar to a different type of case. They're both right. That's why it's so familiar, this Rashi.
This is where it comes?
No, there's a Gemara in Ginnin and elsewhere, but this is a very important Rashi, how to understand Elu Elu. Rashi takes a certain approach. I need to remember what this Shita was, but this is why it's important. They're both true, and depending on the certain application, so sometimes this way you're going to apply this one, sometimes you're going to apply this one. I think the reason why Rashi says that why the Chiddush in Rashi is how you understand Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. Rashi says in this last line is important. The reason why both Shittas are true because they're both going to be applicable at different points in time. Sometimes you're going to apply the Isser and sometimes you're going to apply the Heter. But what Rashi does not say is, let's say they're completely opposites. Let's say there's a situation where both of them can't be true. It's mutually exclusive. It sounds like from Rashi, that would not be Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. It's only because both Shittas can be applied in different circumstances.
So what? If that's the case, it's not Divrei Elokim Chaim.
So it sounds like from Rashi, if there's actually a stira between the two, then that wouldn't be Elu ve'Elu. You have to make a decision.
One of them has to be the right one.
William cases of completely stirred in the Gemara?
No, but let me ask.
And Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim?
Rabbi Yoni, when Amoraim argued Tanaim, why can't you say the same thing that it's that one of them is lying?
What about Bet Hillel and Bet Shammai?
So Amoraim arguing, they never. We Amoraim rarely argue. On they argue about what Tanaim are saying,
right?
But they're not arguing about. I'm not sure. You have to figure out each case. But we have to keep this in mind that basically Rashi telling us this can never be a machlokas and metzias because one of them is lying. It can't be a metzias. Can be what they said. It could be about a svara, machlokas and svara, but not what the shita was. That's, I think, what he's trying
so
to say.
So we apply the same thing with Amoraim and Tanaim.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah. But this is Shitas Rashi. There are other opinions. I'll share with you the Yamsha Shlomo. Yamsha Shlomo writes in his Akdama to the Sefer Yamsha Shlomo. He's a later, which is one of the early Achronim. He's a Sefer in Baba Kama and Chulin and others. So in his Akdama, he's a beautiful Sefer at Elu Ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. And he says, but Har Sinai, Moshe Beinu learned everything. He learned everything in Kabbalah Satorah because there are all these different, I forget how many, but different sinaros that came down, different avenues and pipelines, and some said mutter, some said usser, and it was all true. They're all true, even though they're going to be complete opposite of each other, and you have to make a decision how to paskin, it was all said the Kabbalah Satorah. That's what he points out. Yeah. As by the Ritva in the Erev and Daf Yud Gimel, Ritva writes, you know what Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim means? Not that Moshe Rabbeinu learned everything. He didn't learn. It's impossible for him to learn everything, no matter how great he was. He learned all the tools that were necessary, how to resolve Shilas. He was given all the Yud Gimel Midas Shatod Nijashish Behem. Kavachomer, Zer Shava, the Hekesh. He learned all those tools and he passed them on. But it's impossible that he could learn every single detail that came forever. So he thought, so Elu Elu means that as long as you use the proper tools, they're both true, even though the result might be complete opposites. But the Chiddush in this Rashi is no, it has to be, they're both plausible. Both have to be applicable to be considered Elu Elu. If one of them is mutually exclusive, then that won't be Elu ve'Elu. I think that's a Chiddush Rashi.
You said yesterday that, you know, Chai ve'Mavet, completely opposite, but if when it comes together, it can become one.
Right.
Same thing.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So in Pneumius, and Riyam Shlomo is quoting from
in
Kabbalah, it sounds like.
Everything is at Kareluts. Right. You know, the Midot of Rosh Boku is, even though it's Chesed and Gvura, which is completely opposite, it's together.
Okay, I'm glad we did that Rashi, even though it's long. It's important for that point. Okay. The Mishnah tells us now, Nosnin lebesula shneimasar chodesh. So already told us in the beginning of the Masechta that even though this line wasn't exactly quoted, but I thought Rashi maybe quoted this, that you give a besula 12 months, misha tova habal lefarnes es atzmo. When the husband says, would you marry me? She says, yes. She has 12 months now lefarnes atzmo. What does it mean lefarnes atzmo? So it means betachshitin. Tachshitin typically mean, it's in Hebrew, it's I think translated as jewelry. But the way it's used in the Gemara, we've seen a few times, is besamim. You give them, get them spices and perfume, it sounds like. So she has 12 months to get ready. It's like with Esther. Esther had 12 months to get ready before she met Achashverosh.
But there is such a word, besamim, in the Gemara.
Yeah.
So it's a parallel to tachshitim?
It's a good point, but I seem to remember that Rashi, when he says tachshitim, he's interpreted it to mean besamim. Maybe I'm wrong. Do they say what it means there in the article?
Adornments.
Okay, so that includes, that would be jewelry more so than perfumes. Okay. So she has 12 months to adorn herself. So then the Mishnah says, so to the man has to adorn himself also. So Rashi says, not referring to adorning himself, a man doesn't wear jewelry, it refers to b'tzarech esud av chupa, meaning he has to get ready. He needs 12 months to prepare for a wedding. And a chupa refers to a house, not just a canopy. It refers to, like, he needs to get himself a house to live in. Then the Mishnah says, Ulamana, when it comes to an Almana, she's already been married before, she's a widow, Shloshim Yom, it's enough for her to have 30 days, because Rashi explained she doesn't need to do so much tir because she already has tachshit and she already has jewelry from her first marriage. So she doesn't need that much time. He gives man below nisu. Let's say that 12-month period comes up. It expires and they never get married. So this we saw explicit in the beginning of the Masechta. Ochlos mishalov, ochlos b'tshuma. So she begins to be fed by him. He has to, even though they never got married, he has to feed her. And if she is married to a Kohen, she's allowed to eat even truma. Okay. Then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Tarfon, Omer Nosin La Hakol, Truma. You give her everything truma. If she wants truma, Rashi explained, I mean, Yirtz, if she wants it, she's allowed to eat truma completely. She gets it. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Mech Tzachul, Mech Tzachul, you have to split up half chulun, half truma. And Rashi explained, look at Rashi, what the Machlokas is really about. Rashi, five lines from the bottom. Nosin la ha-kol truma, says Rabbi Tarfon. If she wants only truma, you have to give it to her. What if she's tame? She's a nida. When you're nida, you cannot eat truma anymore. Says Rashi, tim karena, she should sell the truma, then she has to buy chulun from that. But Rabbi Akiva says, it's much easier to just give her half chulun, lechol b'mei tumasa. Half her life, half the month, she's going to be tameh, so give her a chulin instead of having to sell the chuma. Even if she wants all chuma, it doesn't make any sense to have the chuma and to sell it in order to get chulin. He's more machmer, but he's more practical, though.
More practical, meaning yeah. he has to bother himself to get her the non-chuma.
Is that hard for him? I'm not sure what's easier. He's given the truma.
The truma is given for free. The other one, he might not have, like a coin.
Or where's he else to get chulun from? I guess he buys the chulun.
Right.
When you say, when they say truma,
yeah.
What kind of food is that?
Truma is, midiraisa truma is dagan tirash chavitzarcha, which is the grains, it's grapes, and it's olive. That's midiraisa, according to most Rishonim. All Rishonim, that's deraisa. Some Rishonim say other peros are also deraisa truma, all other fruits.
She doesn't eat only that. She's, and chulin is any regular food.
Yeah.
So she doesn't eat only gancha, tirosh chavitzarecha, and some other food. She eats some other stuff as well.
No, that's it. She only wants that.
According to
Rashi, all fruit are truma midiraisa. Everyone agrees it's truma midirbanan.
But meat?
Meat's no truma.
So she eats probably
meat. Right. So I guess it refers to all the fruit that you give me, I want only truma. That's a good point. So there are other things I guess she'll be eating, such as meat, which will not be truma. And that she's not eating meat. So then the Mishnah says, "Hayavam eino maichel b'tshuma." So let's say a yavam, and she's a shomeris yavama. So the yavam's a kohen. She's not allowed to eat tshuma. The yavam cannot feed her tshuma, so long as she's a shomeris yavam. She's waiting. Asa shisha chadashim b'fnei baal, v'shisha chadashim b'fnei hayavam. Let's say she was 6 months with her husband before he had died. So Rashi explained, "Asa shisha chadashim b'fnei habal, mehanach shem asar chodesh." The 12-month waiting period, hakruim la mishitava habal, when the husband asked her hand in marriage. So during the 12 months, o afilu kulm b'fnei habal ve'echa b'fnei yavam. Even let's say all every day, all 364 days, were by the baal, and the last day she falls to the yavam. Av agav deruba b'fnei habal sof sof lo nischay mizoseh b'chayev. Since there were not 12 months in front of her baal, she is not deserving of being supported. Right, continuing the mission now. So again, asa shisha chadashim b'fnei habal v'shisha chadashim b'fnei yavam v'afilu kul b'fnei habal v'chas yom echa. That's on the mission. We read Rashi, but it's really a mishnah. Everything, every day was in front of the baal, but then the baal died the last day. All kul b'fnei yavam v'chas yom echa b'fnei habal. Any scenario that we have, eino ocheles b'tshuma zu, eino ocheles b'tshuma zu, b'tshuma. She does not eat tshuma. She needs a full 12 months in front of the baal. So Zuh Mishnah Rishonah, that which we just taught, the whole Mishnah was the first Mishnah, the initial halacha, but based in Shalachar and Amru, but the later based in had changed the rule. And they said as follows, the top of Nun Zayinim Beis, Ein Ha'isha Ocheles B'tshuma Ad Shetikonis L'Chuppah. The klal is, if the 12-month period came up, you still cannot eat chuma. You have to have chuppah, is the only reason, the Gemara will explain why, but only chuppah is the only thing that allows her to eat chuma. So Gemara wants to know Menachem, how do we know these words to be true?
Means,
yeah.
So in the case of Kasher Yom Echa, means that that day she cannot eat, right? Let's say she was with the first Baal Eris in a year minus one.
Mm-hmm.
So all the Mishnah is telling that even though she was all that time, the last day she cannot eat.
The
last day that she was with a Yom.
No, she's never allowed to eat. Because so only,
while she's with her husband, she's
not chuma. Chuma has to only after 12 months, and if they didn't get married after 12 months, then she's allowed to start eating chuma. But before the 12 months, she can't eat chuma.
So what it's telling us is that even if she was 12 months minus one day, and then one day with the Yavan, after that she cannot eat.
Correct, until she gets married.
I was wondering why it was such, I understand.
So Gemara said, "Minohani Mili, how do we know this? Were these words to be true? I think about the 12-month waiting period." Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Kala, the pasuk says that there's a pasuk we're quoting. The pasuk gets found in Bereishis. Is this by? This is by Rivka, I think. So it says the pasuk, "Vayomer Achea Vima." Rivka's brother and her mother, Teshev Hanara, Itanu Yamim, let her sit with us for some days, O Eser, or 10 days. So Gemara wants to know the Rashi quotes this pasuk. And Rashi quotes the Gemara, rather.
Yeah,
Gemara's going to explain that right now. That's a Rashi quotes the Gemara. So what does it mean? My yom, what does it mean days? Ilei matre yome, 2 days. Mishtai inesh hachi. Does the person say this? Amulei tre yome, amulei lo, amulei asar yome. So the suggestion is stay with me 2 days. And not 2 days, stay with me 10 days. No one negotiates like that. So yomim certainly can't be referring to days or 2 days. And my yamin, what does yamin mean? Yamin means a shana, a year. Let her stay with a year. If not a year, so let her stay for 10 months, I think. We'll see what 10 means in a second. So my yamin, what does yamin mean? Shana. Dichsev yamin tie gula. So the day should be for your redemption. This is referring to the Bati Arichoma, the various halachas at the end of the Parsha Sefer Vayikra. Somewhat, not complicated, but walled city, not walled city, different houses, properties, fields. So during that, in that context, the word yamin clearly means months there. So rather, a year. Yama means a year. So here too, it means a year. Let her stay with a year. If not a year, let her stay with us for 10. So, again, I think the word 10 means 10 months here. The Gemara doesn't explain this.
I think Asur is 10 years. I think.
No, it can't be. Stay with a year or 10 years.
It's Rashi and Chumash, and Rashi says that nobody asks first less.
Right.
More and then less.
That's what Gemara says here also. But it can't be, stay with me 1 year. If not 1 year, stay with me 10 years. No, it means year, and the next word has to be less. 10 has to be less than the previous one. So stay with me a year, and not a year, stay with me 10. What, 10 months or 10 weeks or 10 days?
I think it's 10 months.
10 months makes sense to me.
Yeah, I could wait for 10 years. So what is 10 years?
Yeah, 10 months. Right. So stay with me a year. If not, stay with me also, stay with me 10 months. The Gemara says, wait a second, Vayma, maybe suggest that chodesh refers to a month. Dichsiv ad chodesh yamim. So the word yamim also is referring to a month. So maybe it means stay with me a month, and if not a month, stay with me for 10 days or 10 weeks. Well, 10 weeks would be less than, more than a month, so 10 days. So Amri danin yamim stam mi yamim stam ein danim yamim stam mi yamim shenar ben chodesh. We're trying to find a place where the word yamim is standing alone, stam. Not a place where it says yamim next to chodesh. That's not going to be an exact gezer shava. So therefore, yamim means a year. Stay with me a year. Let her stay with us for another year. Rivka, and if she doesn't stay with a year, at least let her stay with her, stay with us another 10 months. Eliezer says no, we need her right now. So she says okay, fine, go. What?
Parashat is shnei yamim oshana. The word yamim it parashat shnei yamim because it's plural. Oshana. Maybe it's 2 days. And if not 2 days, give us 10 days.
No, that's the Gemara saying. It doesn't make sense. You don't negotiate. Say, let her stay with us 10 days. 2 days, I mean. No, fine. Let her stay with us 10 days. You don't ask for more after being rejected for less. So the second suggestion has to be less than the first suggestion.
Meaning, by the basuk, it's not negotiation because they're saying after that she will go. It's not that, you know, what's the purpose of her staying with us, whatever the number of days is.
But it is negotiating. Eliezer wants to bring Rivka back to get married to Yitzchak right away. And they don't want her to go. Let her stay over a little bit more. And you make it, let's do this amount, if not this amount, let's do a little bit less than that. That's part of the negotiation process. So it's not going to say, let her stay for 2 days. And if he says no, at least let her stay for 10 days. That doesn't make any sense.
Then give us a day or two to think about
okay.
it.
No? Okay. So by the way, this Gemara here, the Pnei Yeshua writes that this concept of 12 months, we see from here, by the way, the word yamim refers to a full year. This is the source that you wait 12 months. But how does it serve as a source, though? Let her stay for a year. If not a year, let her stay for 10 months. Because the suggestion was initially a year, you need a year to get ready. That's the source. So I think it's a Pnei Yeshua here, and maybe the Gebetzes also, that there's a machlokes, whether or not this concept is a din deraisa or a din derabanan. If Pasha's person wants to explain this, it would be a din deraisa. Why? How is it possible if, according to the Mishnah Rishonah, we said if they don't get married after 12 months, she could start eating chuma. How can you start feeding your truma? It's a deraisa for her to eat truma. So some say it's deraisa. Now it's not such a strong kasha because the din is really an arusa can eat truma mideraisa because it's kinin beso. The only reason why woman arusa cannot eat truma anymore, remember why? Shema, yachil. Exactly. So mideraisa, so it's a little back and forth whether or not this concept of 12 months is really din deraisa or not. But I think Pnei Yeshua assumes it is. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says, Tana, quotes from a Braisa, Katana ben hi ben aviha, yichol l'akev. So whether it's her, or if she's a Katana or her father, they can be ma'akev. Ma'akev what? Rashi explains, two lines from the top, yichol l'akev, milinase ad shetigado. They could refuse, let's say she's engaged as a Katana, they said, let's wait until I become a 12 and a half year old girl. So either she or her husband could hold off the wedding. It makes sense that she's able to matzim akva. She could prevent the wedding because she's the one getting married. El avia, the father, how could he prevent it? If she's willing to get married, so what problem does the father have? Why would he want to stop this? Savar hashel yodo. Now she's too young. She doesn't even know what she's getting herself into. Lamachar meimra mimardish. Tomorrow she's going to rebel. Venafka and be thrown out of the house and divorced. Vasi venafle lion's going to be falling back onto me again. So I'm just trying to give her the good advice. Rashi explains this all out. He explains three lines from the top. Mimid of Vinafke, Timrod Bibaila. She's going to rebel against her husband. Shelo tuchal lispol. She can't handle it. Vitei v'tavo elai. Achi tegado. Nimtzesi tzarech la'tachshit anachrim. He's most concerned with having to do another wedding again. So and have to support her and find all the adornment and the jewelry. So therefore, he'd rather her wait off. So that's the right. So by the way, this is a fascinating idea, how much control the father has. This is a shayla. I'm not sure I mentioned this before, but when we got all the shalach manos, the kids got the shalach manos, so my wife doesn't want the kids to have the all the candy. Does she have the right to take it away from them? It was given to them. This is their right. This is her right to get married. Is the father, is the parent allowed to prevent them from getting this? So from the Gemara here, when it's not in her best interest, he is allowed to step in and say, wait a second, she's too young. So could you say it's not in their best interest to have all this candy? Or let's say the kids are given money from grandparents. They don't know how to use money. Do you let them just buy whatever they want and just use all the money that they get? Or are you allowed to oversee what they're doing because it's in their best interest?
It's only ketanim.
It's ketanim, exactly. Once they're gedolim, you have no control.
I don't know. We always speak about the nara, the adad, the female. We know the whole side, but the gil, but what it comes out. Is there any limitations or rules in regard to the men? Meaning a 7 years old can marry a 3 years old?
No. A man, in terms of a man, Bia for a man after 9 years old is considered a Bia. But he cannot get married until he has Das. No one's marrying off a son. The son marries on his own. So he needs to be above the age of 13 for it to be a marriage.
We learned it in
Yevamot. Yeah. And also if he's too old, they tell you, don't.
Exactly.
There's too much difference between the ages.
But it's not like, Psak or Din.
In terms of the age gap, that's just good advice. Based on the pasuk, though, they quote a pasuk that the bezin has to give him the proper advice. Don't have an 80-year-old marry a 21-year-old. Okay, so the Gemara says further: Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Levi Ein Poskin Al Katana Lasia Kishi Katana. You cannot be posek on a katana. What does it mean, poskin? You can't set up a date for the wedding when she's a katana to get married for when she's still a katana. Aval, what you can do is poskin ala katana lasia kishi gedola. You can make a wedding date, even though she's a katana now, but to have a date set for when she becomes above the age of 12 and a half. Rashi explains, aval poskin, vidafka below kedushin, aval kedushin bekatnas lo ache ketigode avatomer beploni anirota. So that's all without kedushin. But we don't even advise kedushin when she's a katana, even to delay the Nisun. So Gemara says, Peshitta, this all makes sense to us. Okay. So even though Katana, the Kedushin will be effective, we don't really allow for it. Right, that's the Gemara in Kedushin, the Membeis. So Gemara says, Peshitta, this all makes sense to me. It's obvious. What was the need for this halacha? Mal the same, what would you have thought? Lechosh duma maila pachta mehasha v'chalsha. Maybe she's going to be overwhelmed with fear and become scared and become weaker. And maybe one shouldn't do this. And you tell her that when she's 8 years old, we're setting your wedding up for 4 years from now, she might get really nervous and might make her a weaker individual. I think that's what the Gemara is trying to say. Kamashalam, we permitted this. Even though she's young now, you can set a date for her to get married for when she becomes older.
She doesn't have das, though.
Even though she doesn't have das now, you're just setting up the wedding. No, because she's going to be told that at an 8 year old, she's getting married, she might get very scared. She's 8. What does she know at 8 years old? Right. Imagine an 8 year old told she's getting married in 5 years from now. Right, but that could be scary. Gemara says it's not scary for her, but you could see why that would be scary.
I see why it's going to be.
The other day, my son, I wasn't home at the time, but on Shabbos, my 5 year old son, he's a deep thinker. So during the meal, he just turned over to, I guess my mother in law is like, I wish I was married. She's like, why? I wouldn't get in trouble anymore. So some kids like to get married.
Did you give him the news that when you're married, you're always in
trouble? We didn't break it to him yet. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna says, Bagra Yomechad Viniskadsha. So one she becomes a 12 and a half, just one day as a 12 and a half year old, Niskadsha, and she becomes engaged, Nosin La Shloshim Yom Kalmana. She now gets 30 days like an almana to prepare for the wedding. So I guess this is talking about the case where she already had a date set up when she was younger, because she had all those years to prepare.
Meaning Dasha Miyad. Right.
No, they give her 30 days, meaning now she's 12 and 1. And she decided to get married.
So when was the year? The year was only for a Naira?
Here it says.
Even not Naira, because now it's 12 to 30.
So what those are halacha then of the 12 months? That must be referring to a katana then? Tosa asks a question. To look at Tosa. See Tosa, Bogar Yom Echav Niskadsha? So we said before, once you're Bogar, the Gemara says here, Bogar only gets 30 days, but our Mishnah, Rashi Tosa asks, is 12 months. Vim Tomar, Masnisin Dekatani Dimishitava, Nosin La Yud Beis Chodesh. Hech Mishkachazla, Kevin Ein Nosin Nalolam, Ela Shoshim Yom, Bibagris, you only give a Bogar 30 days, the Mistama Ari Biniskadsha, Kishinara. And we already says also to marry off a katana. So we must be referring to marrying a Naira. But David pointed out Naira only has 6 months. So you never have 12 months. So when do you ever have 12 months of the Mishnah? Only if she became a Bulgaris and only afterwards was Niskadsha. The Ein La Ela Shloshim Yom. Avon Niskadsha Kodim Bagris. During the Naira's period, if she was Niskadsha then as a Naira, before she became a Bulgaris, she does get 12 months. Interesting. That she gets engaged while being a Naira, even though she's going to be Bulgaris in a few months, she still gets 12 months from the point she gets engaged.
Uh-huh. Oh, so she's a mama's old lady when she gets married.
Yeah. Interesting. And Tosa continues to explain, but Taima, the reason is, if she became a Bulgaris before she became engaged, the Mistama Hechina Kotach Shitea, she prepared already. Rashi says also she already did all the preparations. She wants to be ready to get married right away. So she's all ready. She becomes 12 years old, 12 and a half years old, and she's all pretty and prepared. Avon Niskadsha Kolam Bagris, but if she became Niskadsha beforehand as a Naira, she's already loyal to her husband. She's ready, everything set up. There's no need to rush all the Tachshitin. So she takes more time, 12 months slowly, to prepare herself properly. If she's Bulgarian, she's starting to get nervous. She's already 12 and a half. She's not going to get married. She wants to make herself look pretty and get married right away. And then she starts hurrying up the process of preparing. Okay, the Gemara says further now. Asks the Gemara, Mesivei. Ask the Gemara, Bagra Harehi Kitivua. Once she becomes a Bulgarian, it's as if she's Tivua, as if she's being asked to be married, which would sound like, My Lav Kitivua the Basula. Like a Tivua Basula, she gets 12 full months, like a Basula. That's what it sounds like from the Barisa. Where it says, lo, kitvu b'dalmanah, like asking an amanah to get married to, that only gets 30 days. Toshma al-Gemara brings another raya. Bogeres, sheshasa shemas achodesh, if she waits 12 months, Rabbi Eliezer, omer hol v'chai b'ayla b'mizona seha, yefer. Since the husband now, after 12 months, has expired, he's responsible to pay for her, he also has the right to be made for any of the nadarm. So we see from here that a Bogeres gets 12 months. Ema Bogeres, v'sheshasa shemas achodesh. No, two things. if she's a Bulgaris, and plus there's 12 months have passed, Rabbi Eliezer Omer hold by lechai b'mizoseha yefer. Since he's chayv to mizonos, he has to be made for the nadarm. Be'ena Hanami, she only gets 30 days, but happens to be they waited 12 months. That wasn't the halacha, but they happened to wait 12 months. So then it's so long, he has the right to be made for the nadarm. I'm sorry, I misread that. Rashi says differently. Rashi says, and he's obviously right. Rashi says v'shishahasa are two different cases. Hachi kama Rashi. Bulgaris l'sov shloshim, a Bulgaris after 30 days, or hanara shishahasa shneimah sachodesh, or nara who waited 12 months, either the situations, once the husband's chayv to pay the mizonos, he also has the rights to be made for nedarim. Then the Gemara quotes another brisa, toshma v'hama'aris es habasula, a person who engages a basula, bein shetava habal v'hi ma'akeves, bein shetava hi habal ma'akev, whether she wants to get married and he holds it back, or he wants to get married, she holds it back, whatever the case is. No sin lush shemas archodesh, you give 12 months misha tviya of the moment they had asked to marry each other. Avalo mishas erison, not from the time they got engaged. That's the first scenario. Ubagra hare ketivua, and when she becomes a Bulgaris, that's ketivua. Keta, the Gemara explains. Bagra yomecharev, she's one day into 12 and a half years old. When this kachim becomes engaged, no sin lush shemas archodesh, you give her a full 12 months, against what we've been saying. Ularusa shloshim yom, if she was engaged, she only gets 30 days once she becomes a Bulgaris. So this is a rejection to Rav Huna. Rav Huna says a Bulgaris only gets 30 days. Here the Bryce is Michalik. If she was engaged and then became a Bulgaris, she gets 30 days. If she was a Bulgaris and then got engaged, she gets 12 months, which sounds like against Tosas as well. So Gemara says, my la rusa, shloshim yon. So I'm not getting this, actually. See?
That's the end of it. Now the Gemara is just asking, does it make any sense that you're saying in Arus only it's 30 days? What does that mean?
Maila Rusha Shoshim Yom, Amar Papa Hachi Kamar. Bogeres She'avru Ale Shemas HaChodesh Bibagris Evnis Kadsha Nosin La Shloshim Yom Kalmana. Bogeres, who has waited 12 months as a Bogeres, and then she gets engaged, she gets 30 days after that point. So in the end of the day, it sounds like we reject Rav Huna, that a Bulgaris Eina Hanami gets 12 months. But if she lived as a Bulgaris 12 months single, so those 12 months we assume she's preparing already. So if she gets engaged, let's say day one of being a Bulgaris, she gets a full 12 months. If she waited 12 months unengaged, single, and then she gets engaged, then she has only 30 days.
It's not clear. What about those in-between periods? Do you reduce them day for day based on how far she's been there? Do you say she gets 6 months in the middle?
Right.
Also, this Bryce seems to say that the 12 months starts from the time of Tviya, which is different than we learned.
I thought that's what he said in the Mishnah also.
Yeah. I thought it was 12 months.
Mishatava.
It's from Mishatava? I thought it was from the time of the Erisin that it was the 12 months.
You see that no sin the Basula Shema Sachodesh Mishatava Habal. Now it could be that they asked for her for his hand, if he asked for her hand in marriage before they actually got engaged. But once you get engaged, that's certainly Shas Tviya. But you can't have Shas Tviya without Shas Erison.
Oh, wait. If you do ask to be engaged, if you get engaged, that's considered Tviya?
I imagine so. If you get engaged, I assume that's if you want to get married. That's the next step. It would be strange to get engaged not to get married.
Tviya for sure is Erison, but Erison...
No, other way around.
Erison for sure is Tviya, but Tviya is not for sure
Erison. Rashi says, Mama Kini Sasa L'Chopan Yom Shetava Habala Acher Shekidsha.
Ah, so you're right.
That's the other way around.
Sounds like there's three steps.
Oh, marriage. Because there's erusin and then Tviya is when they set the date.
Okay. So engagement is we're expressing our loyalty to each other, our commitment to each other, but there could be a few years until we actually get married. Once we say, okay, now we're ready, let's set that date up. Now we'll start the 12 month shot clock. Okay. The Gemara says the two dots.
Have problems getting hold.
Well, they had to build a house. They all expected to live in their own homes. They had, I'm not sure if they had, like, apartment buildings. They definitely didn't have apartment buildings like we have. You had to mamash build a house. Each time a new family got married, they had to construct something. So the Gemara says in the two dots, Higiyas mam v'lo v'nisu. Let's say the 12 months expired and they couldn't get married. Amar Ula Ul explains, Davar Torah, Arusa, Bas Yisrael, Ocheles, B'Shuma. That's what we explained before. The Midiraisa, Arusa is really permitted to get to eat Shuma. Shenemar v'koin ki yiknei nefesh kinin kaspo. V'hai nami kinin kaspo. A koin is allowed to feed his, that which he owns. And the arusa is something he owns. He acquires an arusa. It's one of his kinyanim. So ma tam amrei nochel. That's what was the reason why we do not allow an arusa to eat the truma. Shema yimzagulo kos bebeis aviyah v'tishka l'achiyu l'achoseh. Perhaps they're going to pour her some a cup of wine, which is from Truma, and she's going to go back to her father's house, feed her husband, her brothers and sisters, and that's Aser. So if that's the case, the Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's true, he gives Mavlo Nisu Nami. So even if the time expires and she doesn't get married, the same concern should be there. It should still be in place. Shema, she might bring some Truma back to her father's house. The Gemara says, Nahasa Duchta Miyachila. There, they have Miyachila, they designated a certain area for her, I guess, in the house of her future husband. Rashi explains, or maybe in her father's house. Rashi says, Duchta Miyachila. Me'achashu Zanoso, now that the husband's finally feeding her after 12 months, Tamid Motzia, Tamid constantly, Motzi Mibes Avia, she leaves the house of her father. So she has her own place. She's kicked out of the house. She sits by herself in some lonely house where her husband feeds her. And that's where there's no concern. El Miat, if that's the case. Lokit Kohen Liyisrael Lo Lecha B'Truma. So a Kohen who collects for Yisrael should not eat Truma Dilma Asi L'Mecha B'Hadei. So referring to someone who's hired, a worker by the a Socher, now she explains. He's hired out by Yisrael. He's working the field. He brings his lunchbox for the day. He brings some chuma. So maybe the guy shouldn't bring his lunchbox of chuma because he might eat at the same table as the Baal Bais, the Yisrael, and they might eat with each other. So Gemara says, Hashem mididhu safilei mididei. Achle? So what's this far here? Let's see. So the Yisrael is feeding him, so he's not going to bring his own lunchbox. It's quite a nice setup that the employer was bringing lunch every single day for them. So there's no need to bring his own truma. So Rav Shmuel by Rav Yehuda. So what, the case of the daughter, though, if the daughter is being fed by her husband, though, so then she won't be... okay, fine. So Gemara says Rav Shmuel by Rav Yehuda Amar Mishum Simpon. The reason is because the simpon, Rashi explained, what does that mean, simpon? I'll explain Rashi outside, but there might be a mum. And if there's a mum, there might be that the kedushin in the first place would be kedushin betos, and she never had the right to eat truma in the first place. Only if the kedushin ends up being chal, turning into nesuin, so then, retroactively, everything was a good kedushin. But let's say if they get married, or they find out somehow that there's a mum, and he says, wait a second, I didn't know about this, everything's called off, then she was never engaged to him in the first place, and that's why she cannot eat truma, because it might be something that he finds out about her. So Gemara says, Ihachi nichnas al-chuppah v'lo nival nami. So wait a second. If, let's say, they get married, they go to the chuppah, but there's no bia yet. So he hasn't seen if there's any mumim on her body yet. So there, too, also, there shouldn't be any, should not allow to eat truma. You wait until he makes sure there's no mumim. Gemara says, Halsam mivdak badigla v'hadimayel. So there, before he goes into chuppah with her, he checks with all his relatives. The Gemara is talking about have his relatives go to the base of merchats with her to make sure there's no mumim. So therefore, before chuppah, he'll do all the research, all the investigation that's necessary. There's no concern once there's chuppah. When you get engaged, so he won't do as much research as of yet. El miat, if that's the case, the Gemara says, Eved Kohen shelachu miYisrael, a Eved Kohen who was bought from Yisrael, lo leicha b'tshuma, mishum simpon. So let's say a Kohen buys an Eved from his neighbor, the Yisrael. So now the Kohen owns Eved, he's allowed to eat him Truma. But maybe he shouldn't eat Truma yet. Make sure there's no Mumim on him. Because if there's a Mumim, it turns out there's going to be a Mevatel LeMekach, Rashi explains, and he never had the right to eat the Truma in the first place. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Simpom be'avadim leka. There's no Simpom, there's no concern of there being a hidden Mum by Avadim. De'avrai ha'kechadile. If there's an outside Mum, so then he clearly sees it. There's nothing that you see when you buy the Eved. Vida gavai, if it's an inner mum that's not seeable, that's not visible, limlocha kabai, it should be say to loichpasle. But if he only wants evidence to do work, so who cares if there's some hidden mum? The fact that if he could do the mlocha properly, that's all he cares about, so there's no real concern of a simpum. So I said, wait a second, but there is a scenario of lente nimsa ganav o kuvyustus. So let's say he's a ganav, or he's a kuvyustus, which Rashi explains to Gonim Nefashos, he's a kidnapper. So that you don't know. You can't see that. We have to wait a few months to see what his personality is like. So Gemara Higil. Let's say you end up buying an Eved who has one of these characteristics. So Ma'ika Lememer. So Ma'ika. So Gemara says, Listen Muzuyin O Mukhto L'malchus. Wait. Oh, so Rashi's Higil. Rashi explained Higil's answer. That's what he bought. Now it's tough luck on him. It's his bad mazel, and it can't be mvato the mekach anymore. The sale. The sale goes through. So then the Gemara says, "My ika listim o muchta l'malchus."
Yeah, that's. So now
we're trying to figure out, is there any case of a simpon? So it might be Ma'ika. Listim Zuyun, let's say he's a armed robber, or which is very unlikely to happen. O Muchtel Malchus, already he has his he's a death penalty handed down from Malchus, and they want to come kill him. So what about that? Hanu Kala Isla, everyone would know. If he bought the Eved, he would have known about this Eved's history, would have done a background check. So Gemara says, so either way, there's no concern by an Eved. You'll either know about it or you won't care about it. So therefore, when you buy an Eved, a coin buys an Eved, he could start feeding him truma immediately. Michdi, bein lamar, bein lamar, lo achli. Now, according to both opinions, one cannot eat.
Simpon or the Rabbanon, if she's going to feed her father.
She might feed her sister. No, it's really her brother or her sister.
Right. Or if it's a simpon, it might be a mum. So my benai, what's the nafkamina? Ika benayu, kabel, masav, halach. That's the three nafkaminas. So we're going to have to read Rashi's here for these three nafkaminas. Rashi, two narrow lines down. Kabel, masav, halach. Kibal, love, baal, es a mum. Let's say he says, I'm willing to accept any mum. The simpon, lek lemechash. So there's no concern of simpon. L'shema tishka lachi lachosa ik lemechash. There is. If a case of masav, Rashi explains, ha'av l'shluchay baal, the av, gives her off to the husband, to shluchei the baal rather. O shahalchu shluchei av im shluchei baal. Lek lamecha shema tishka l'achil l'achosa dehales negabe. She stays back home, right. So then there's no concern of the truma being sent over to each other. But the ik lamecha shlo simpon, but there's still a concern since they never saw each other, there's a concern of mumen.
On the contrary, if he sends her out of the town.
If she stays home with the father, and then the husband is elsewhere, and they get engaged through shlichus, there's no concern of their sending over truma. They're not with each other at all. But there's a concern of mum because they never saw each other, never with each other yet.
No, I think not. I think it's im masar ha'avet hakala lidei shluchei hachatan shebaul lakachat lebeit hachatan lenisuim. Meaning, if he gave her out, then already she's not with her brothers. I think that's what it
is. That was the first case. That's halach.
Masar
v'halach. That's halach. Masar is where the Rashi explains.
Yeah.
I think this is about locus.
Same case.
Yeah, Rashi says masar halacha, two different cases, the same case of handing over her or going. I think Tosos elsewhere says it's machlokas, and Rashi how to explain the scenario here. But either way, the idea.
Not
physically there.
Right.
So there's no concern of passing over the truma, but there's a concern of simpon.